The foot is on triple L. Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Come on, man.
This is the Sunday Run.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, we sure do. Hawthorn taking on Brisbane from Tasmania on the Sunday Rub. The Blues are flying. The Tigers are back. The Saints are going well. And we'll get stuck into all that. We'll speak to Richmond star Shane Edwards. Tom Brown's going to join us today. Hitch Your Caravan is back, even though the Jay Clark, and we'll get into that in a minute, is not here today. And we'll all have the Sunday Rub quiz and Truth or Line, which has probably been our best new segment of the year, Truth or Line, when we delve deep into the mind of Ross Lyon, and we'll get off the top a little bit, some of Ross's best work as I work my way around the desk. And first of all, the greatest player the game has ever seen.
Oh, thank you, Brownie. Yeah. Hello.
Oh, I'm waiting for the punchline, Brownie. Go on.
Here's Lee Matthews, but he works at AW. So we'll go to Duck.
Lee is the greatest VFL player of all time, man. There's no doubt about that. It's good to be here, Brownie, and I'm glad you said that. That's one of my favourite segments, because that hits your trailer or whatever that is. That's
rhubarb.
Now that Jay-Z's not here, we could probably give that we could park the trailer for a week, probably. Good to be here. I'll tell you what, you said a number of weeks ago now, Joey, that, you know, the eight might be set. We've got a couple of good teams just outside the eight as of right now. So will that change? I tell you what, it's shaping up to be a very tight contest, isn't it, from six through.
Might ask you who you think is vulnerable out of those teams in the top eight at the moment.
And the greatest coach to ever win a premiership is Ross Lyon. He was unlucky a couple of times.
He needed to execute, Brownie.
Every time
I look at Joey, I think, did he miss one?
Great to be here. Greg, too, obviously played out from fullback more than any other man in the history of the game, is Lee Montagna.
Hello, Nathan. Nice to be here. I didn't see, I must admit, a lot of footy last night. I was just glued to the election coverage, so we'll have to keep me up to date on the footy. Who won the Dreamtime game, Duck? I didn't see it. I was just glued to my seat watching Elbow. Oh, that was taking all my attention.
And I find it extraordinary.
How can the footy from Channel 7 get shifted off from the election? It was on seven something last night, weren't we?
One of our secondary channels, Duck.
Because of the election.
Because of the election. There's a broader mark, I think, with the election.
Well, the voice you just heard is that of Tom Brown. And
Brown.
It is with great
intrigue.
It's a good word. The fact that Jay-Z Clark is a big part of this show, but I've never heard a man who's had more days off than Jay-Z Clark. You've all played with footy at footy clubs where you've got a guy that, you know, my back's a bit tight today, or we're going to do 500s, do we? Just a little bit tight in the hamstring, and there's a lot of players that go off. Jay-Z seems to be one of those players at the moment who just leaves you in the lurch, and we've had to bring in Tom very late, but a great replacement too.
Well, this is a man, let's not forget Jay-Z, that when Pendles broke a nail, he thought that he should have been awarded the Purple Heart or whatever. Remember, he was saying,
Most courageous
is Pendles. This is unbelievable. And we all love the champion from Geelong, Danger. But yesterday, Danger, and we all know he's been crooked. By the way, he's banged up. We'll probably talk about that, Tom, in your news or in a segment at some point. But what I'm saying, Jay-Z yesterday was just fascinated that Danger could even get out onto the ground. He's going, look at him. He has to have electrolytes.
What's that syndrome you get when you're faking illnesses? They label it something.
Hypochondriac.
If you're listening.
Yes.
If the cap fits.
Well, it's a big opportunity. I feel like there's a seat open on the Sunday Rub at the moment because of Jay's not able to turn up every week. And also, I know you're going toe-to-toe with a few others at the moment, so you may as well throw him to your list. You got rid of Steve Al at Channel 7. Mitch Clear is the other one that you're just trying to keep underneath you. So you're doing a great job, and we're very happy to have you today.
What you do in this business is you step in, you fill in, and then get a bit of popular support going on social media, which I could struggle on, by the way, and then you're a chance of winning the permanent spot.
You've got 3 million back in you to run a campaign.
Some independence.
When I do go on social media and I listen to your stuff, and then how many parody accounts of Tom Brown are there? I reckon there's at least five or six who try and decipher what you
think about and what you mean in your tweets.
There's at least one prominent one, but it's got so crazy now where the second and third parody accounts, people accuse them of being a fake me. And so you're definitely doing this. Oh, it's draining, honestly. By the end of Saturday when I read all the...
You're faking being yourself.
Do you keep up with your burner accounts and the fake burners and who you are?
In the interests of mental health and my wife's good advice, I'll stop reading it.
Good idea, Tom. It'd be quite easy, though, Tom, to just to throw out a couple of little things, making out that it's not you when it really is you.
You'll enable some of those people's suggestions. Yes.
But we're open-minded to you. You know, if you put your best foot forward today, Tommy, well, we're open-minded here.
And speaking of media and social media, you've been sucked into it today, Duck, because you don't tweet a lot. Yes. So I do follow you. I follow you on Twitter, and you don't see a lot Wayne Carey 27 come up. But all of a sudden today, you've dived into the world of Kane Corns.
You've couldn't help yourself. You've been sucked into Kane's comments.
And this is exactly what Kane wants. He wants you, people like you, and you are the greatest player in the AFL era, as we know, but you've been sucked in by Kane Corns.
I was sitting there watching your show this morning.
Great show.
And two things jumped out at me. There's you and Lloydie and even Tony.
Purple.
All sitting there, and Kane, all sitting there talking about Essendon's response last night and the fact that they, you know, they flew the flag and they got in and they supported one another. And there was a concerted effort last night. I thought there was a difference. Okay, they just weren't good enough, still not moving the ball as they should. So there's a lot of reasons why. But I thought the effort, flying the flag, playing for one another, I thought that was all there. I thought that was quite evident. And here we got all these blokes, and let's be honest, none of you blokes had any of that in you, or have got any of, you wouldn't intimidate a bloody little, I don't know, a little meowy cat, like sitting there, like you're like, there's no intimidation. In actual fact, Purple's the most intimidating person on that one. Because you're intimidated by the power of the pen is more intimidating than you guys. And you're all sat in there talking like you didn't buy it. You're on the tough pills. And then
I stuck up for him.
Yeah, and then I know you did. But then Kane came out with the most ridiculous thing I've heard for a while.
What did he say?
Well, we know that Danger's banged up. He is banged up. Yep. And he was coming on and off yesterday. In actual fact, he came on and off so much, you know, how he got any momentum. And he did a couple of good things, I think is in the third term, to actually get the Cats moving. But anyway, he's coming on and off. So
he's theatrical.
So Kane has said that he thinks that he has to lose weight. That Patrick Dangerfield has to lose weight. We're talking, and champion gets thrown around far too often in this competition. A bloke has two good games and he's a champion these days. Patrick Dangerfield is a champion of our game, and he'll be a Hall of Famer. Who knows, one day maybe even a legend of this competition. And all of a sudden, Kane, he's got to lose weight. You know what? Patrick Dangerfield is a bull, not a sheepdog. He's a bull. He plays like a bull. He doesn't skirt the packs and just run.
So what you're saying is he doesn't need to lose weight.
That's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. He's a tank. That's the way he plays. It's a combative sport, and he's a combative man. And right now he's not fit because he's injured,
Ross.
Well, I was thinking Danger's not shy of a tweet himself, is he? So if you're listening, Danger.
Yes, he might come back too.
I think he's gone back at Kane before, hasn't he? He's gone into that horrible rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get entangled in this war that's about to erupt.
No.
But he's a powerful man. I'd be surprised if he's overweight.
No, and he said he wanted to
trim down for longevity over the next three or four years.
To put him in context, he didn't say he was fat or flabby. He just said he needs to slim down. And that's not Paddy Dangerfield. Paddy Dangerfield has had the same build for the last 10 years, and he's been all good. Australian about six or seven of them.
Well, really, it's been the syndesmosis injury, hasn't it? The ankle that he come back quickly from, and he's still getting back to his high level of consistency. Have you got a view on it, Joe? Because you had the weight battle.
No,
Nonna's lasagna.
That was just because of Nonna's cooking in the off season.
Your ability to
I'm not sure what this injury is. Tom, you might know more with Danger. I did think it was a cork calf, and then he got a re-corky, and then he missed weight. I'm not sure if we actually know exactly what he's been carrying.
Because Chris Scott's been alluding to it.
Yes, they've been alluding, but I think I've always felt there's been something more to it, but no one's, and you know, you don't want to accuse
What's our
him.
News hand got?
I was told he had a cork calf, and there was some blood there, and the concern was once there's some blood in the cork calf, you can obviously get the strain. and they were taking a conservative approach. Mm. That's what I was told.
Yeah. Right. Well, sure. Duck, you think he's a bull. Another bull is Rafael Nadal. Now, is there anything that you would have in common with Rafael Nadal?
What have you come up with, Dana? I've got no idea. What have I got coming?
Were you out for dinner not long ago?
It's a bit of a truth or line, but towards the duck.
Truth or line, or a truth or duck.
Yep.
Duck, duck. Did a lady come up to you and come up and said, "Ah, Duck, I love you. You are my favourite player of all time." And you said, "Yeah, I hear that a lot. You know, I was the greatest player of all time." And she said, "No." So she pulled up her top to show a massive tattoo of your signature next to Rafael Nadal's signature. So just two signatures as tattoos on her body. One was Wayne Carey.
I did see a tattoo.
Truth or duck.
Of my name. Yes, wow. I did.
We could do a story on that for the news, Brownie.
That'd be a great story for the news.
Is that what I've got in common, is it?
With Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Well, I didn't know that. But yes, she was actually very nice too.
There you go.
She's doing a bit of work with the Good Bloke Society. I won't mention her name because I won't embarrass her.
No, but a big tattoo.
It was kind of a bit of a shock when you see your signature.
And was it a good signature though?
Well, it was my autograph.
Right.
Not my
Do you have 18 on it?
Not my bag signature.
That's the one she wants.
Yes. No, 18. Yeah, yeah. I put the 18 in the loop.
Now
of the Y.
Hey, very good. Hey, we get Ross. I've been thrown under the bus to give you this one, but we love watching you on
That's
footy.
All right. I've got
on
plenty.
Footy classified. Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
How am I going? Yeah, there,
no, you're a very smart man. I really enjoy watching you on the show. But something just caught my attention. What segment do you do? What caught my eye on the show? We do something.
I'm not Ross
what
the
caught
boss.
My attention?
We might have been rolling our arm over that.
I just
week.
Want to get your explanation on this one, please, on footy classified, because something just caught my attention a couple of weeks ago, last week.
This is radio, not TV, Joe.
That is almost the least. Obviously not the head, but the most staggering and the most hypocritical in terms of consistency.
That's farcial.
So that's got nothing. That's now, I want farcial. To roll one more before we get to the solution.
I don't say that lightly either. That's farcial. That's
as
a strike.
Farcical.
Yeah, farcical.
Farcical. Caro has to point out the correct pronunciation.
Caro's gone for the jugular there.
Look, I can't help, I'm sitting next to Tom Brown, right? I went to Lakeside High Reservoir without a 10% pass rate. Very multicultural. A lot of English as a second language. And I'm going back to those teachers. If you're sitting listening to this now, you own that. I know you might say my application was terrible, but I wasn't at Xavier or Trinity.
It's true.
You know,
Melbourne Grammar, Wesley.
And that's why probably great Labor's got in. Yeah. They might throw some more money at the education system to help the next little Aussie battler from Reservoir pronounce farcical to the correct way.
I love Caro. I love Caro. And to her defence, she lets you get away with 3 or 4. Before she pulled you up, she thought, I'll let that one go through. And then you're just going to have to talk.
I thought it was partial.
Yeah.
Harry Potter books just didn't cover
enough
range.
Anyway.
I thought you had something else.
That's good relief. I can see your face. You got a bit nervous there.
Do we need to be looking for something else, do we?
Yeah, that's all it was.
No.
Oh, dear. Very good. Hey, what about you, Brownie? Because we always like to check in with each other. And we're a bit of family here. And Brownie, we check in on you. And Duck always check in. How are you going this week? Because you ain't going all right?
I've been going okay. Why?
Well, we just noticed. Cryptocurrency's just taking a bit of a big hit, Brandon. We just want to check in
only
and make
58
sure, make sure you're okay, because it's been a big couple of weeks in the
it
crypto
has been
world.
On bread and water at the moment at the Browns house. But
is it recovered, Brandon?
You've lost so much, it just has to be a hold. Right. So, and what I've told you guys to make sure that you invest or gamble responsibly, so investing responsibly,
yep.
I set a stop loss about 30% under everything that I buy.
Okay.
So when that gets hit, it's very upsetting when it gets hit when it goes 30% below or 32% below and then bounces back up.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, I sold 30% and the whole market dropped probably 50 to 60% on the back of one coin and an ecosystem going wrong. But long term, I've told you, it is a hold long term. Okay. So
well,
I told you, Fetch, a couple of weeks ago, it is a 2-year plan for me, and then I won't have to work again.
So,
I'll buy you lunch if you need lunch.
You and your wife sit down and she sets, go off and invest, Nathan.
Yeah.
But here's the parameters.
Mm.
Here's the quantum. Here's your stop loss. And do you ever breach those conditions?
Look, Ross, it would be fair to say that I haven't told Christina too much about crypto.
She knows the better.
She knows it's some sort of mythical being outside of what everybody else talks about. But one day she's going to be very happy with it, and right. I just don't need to take her through the ups and downs and the sleepless nights. She just gets the rewards at the end.
Yeah,
it's just the rewards at the end.
And Brandy, it's not hold in the crypto space. It's hodl.
H-O-D-L. It is.
As a man that went through this sort of scenario in his younger life.
Yeah.
I would suggest leave some money on the table for the next man and take your profit.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
And seagulls gone through the protected area.
Yeah. Triple M rocks footy.
Built tough, Rosie conditions when it comes to water heating. Ask your plumber to install a room. The very best we have to offer on AFL footy today. Hawthorn, Brisbane, you got Duck, you got Ross, you got Joey, Brownie, and also this man, Tom Brown. All the news of the weekend so far.
Brownie, I'll start with the Bombers. They were the biggest discussion point during the week, and I guess the debate early this week will be whether it was a pass mark as far as Essendon was concerned last night. I want to obviously get all the opinions on the panel, but in terms of whether Essendon did respond last night, this was Ben Rutten's response post-game.
Level of disappointment there, certainly. But we're also, you know, in terms of our response from last week, in particular around the contest, our pressure, our tackling, you know, I thought there was improvement there.
Also, a lot of discussion regarding flying the flag in response to Parker, obviously on Shield last week. And this was Rutten's response on that topic as well, post-game.
Probably we spoke, we didn't have the hard edge that we needed to last week. You know, so for us, it was about making sure we're really clear on what we want to stand for as a group and how we want to stand up for each other and play a competitive physical game of footy. You know, there's no secrets there. That's AFL footy. So our guys, yeah, I did that at a better level along with the contest stuff.
Duck, was it contrived or was it what you wanted to see in terms of a response?
No, I didn't think it was contrived at all. I thought it was an instant reaction. If something happened, we saw early and it was a Lynch elbow, a late knock. I thought they came in. It was, like I said, it was the reaction that you would want when you see one of your players felled or intimidated or mocked or whatever it might be. But I thought their effort, their tackling, their chasing, all of that was at a really high level. It dropped off as the game went on. But at the start, Joey, it was high.
Yeah.
Where they fell down was still the way they are trying to play. That's for me. And then they had a couple of key forwards. I thought Peter Wright was well held by Tarrant, but he didn't do himself any favours. He allowed to be outmarked too often, didn't bring it to ground. So they didn't give themselves a chance. They were outclassed by a better team. As simple as that.
That's right. But I thought their start was terrific. That's the standard, to play with that intensity. So some of the conversation around, you know, every player tries, every team tries. I mean, we learnt from Ross on, there's levels of trying. And you can't say that Essendon tried as hard against Sydney as they did last night against Richmond. It was a completely different level. So that's what we had to see as a minimum. They had a crack, as Duck said. They weren't good enough to beat Richmond, but I thought it was a good response. And that's now got to be a bit of a benchmark. It can't be a one. We'll be disappointed now if it's a bit of a one-hit wonder. Yeah, and they go back to their old habits next week.
They went from 30 tackles to 64.
Well, they had 20 in the first quarter after being 30 for a whole week.
I think it was a step forward. They flew the flag. That didn't interest me too much. Contest the ball, they went down by 9. I think they're very competitive. But to Joey's point, they need to reflect on their mental preparation and what they did to be able to go out and perform like that. Because they haven't put the same level into previous weeks. That's indisputable by the way they play. So they've found out they've got another level of preparation, in particularly to set, I'm not saying physical, but setting the mind and steeling themselves to compete. And we know they're not a great team. And look, they struggle to take a mark inside 50. But with that base, you can move forward. Because Ben Rutten, I used to say to the boys, if we got smacked, I said, I'm not even going to review it. It'd be like having a business plan and your sales reps aren't making the calls. Like, how can you judge your plan? So I'd say when you give appropriate effort, I'll do a review, you know, and I think that's where Ben's at and he can see what works and what doesn't work for him, what he's trying to put across. So I liked the step forward.
How does he go about his week now, knowing that they've bounced back once? I mean, does he need to be the voice or does it need to be the voice of the players now that say, we've got to do this not only 1 week, we've got to do it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or is there a responsibility on the coach to get them up weekly?
Well, you keep agitating and needling and, you know, you got the honey, the vinegar, what do they need? Do they need a cuddle? But you reinforce this as a leader, you need to affirm capabilities. And what they saw was they've had a greater capability to compete than they had or they thought they had. So he needs to keep driving that and not let him off the hook on that. You don't brutalise him, but this is what we can do. If you do this, if you do that.
But as we know, Brandy, we all played. It is not up to the coach. It's got to be self-driven, self-motivated players that bring their own effort. It can't be because the coach yells in their face that they play that way. So it's got to be on the players to have that self-drive.
So then who are those players that need to be setting the standards? Obviously the captain and vice-captain leadership group.
But my view is their talents in the midfield. That's where their talent is. If you go Merritt, who's a really high-level player, Parrish, McGrath's a pick one. You've got Martin that's come in. I think you could put Shield, Smith can get, and Draper is a young. We all pump him up, and I think he flies the flag. If they're getting beaten because they haven't got tall backs or their forwards aren't there, I think you can wear that like last night. But where they got their strength, they've been underperforming would be my view. And you build your game from the inside out, and midfields, I think that's where they need to really start.
And just one thing. I think it's a bit of a stretch to say because Matthew Lloyd raised it, that's why they responded that way.
No.
I'm pretty sure internally they all addressed how they performed, what they need to do as a group, and they need to stick fat. So I thought it was a bit of a stretch to say that because Lloydie threw it out there, that's why the Essendon players did it this week.
But I thought we went hard on classified. I said, the Ray McLean, what's the three words you'd describe Essendon as? Or conversely, Melbourne. So I'd love to hear, they don't have to give it up, but a journo and the presser, okay, I hear about your brand. What are the three words you want people to be saying about you? Or what are the three words that people, how are they describing you at the minute? Like amiable, nice, happy,
white collar, polite.
You know, that's North, what were they? Like tough, relentless, long kicking or whatever it was. You know, I think that's sometimes it's as simple as that. How do you want to be described, boys, when you come off the ground today?
The Bombers won the tackle count last night 64-51, which I guess is a positive. And I think they ranked 16th in the competition for giving up score. So Richmond kicked 80-odd points last night, which I guess is a step forward in that regard as well. From a Tigers news perspective, obviously the focus will be on Tom Lynch, who had a scan this morning on his hamstring. We don't know the severity of that as yet. It doesn't look great. And obviously Lambert with that hip. That's a significant issue for Lambert because he's had hip issues before. And in the second hour of our show today, I'll play you Hardwick on that topic because he explained that he'd come back now and played three or four games in a row. The plan was for him to play one or two games in a row, and he's obviously been playing sore.
Really important to him, isn't he, Lambert?
Yep.
When you get Prestia back and they're both two-way runners, and then you're allowed to have Martin centre forward for most of the game, then you can bring back in Liam Baker, who's hard as a cat's head, who plays in the middle and is a really good player. And I think when he plays in the middle, you see the best of Liam Baker. But when those players are out, it's hard. They're spread a bit thin through that midfield.
Well, Lambert played the critical role working with Martin. Martin's centre bounce. Lambert coming up the midfield, covering Martin's man while Martin's spat out forward. I'm not sure they're doing it the same now, but he was a running machine. He was as critical as anyone. And you hear about Rutten training the Lambert role at Essendon, but have they got anyone with the discipline and the run of Lambert?
Well, someone had a stat last night, and I didn't know. As good as Richmond have been for a long period, I know the last little bit, not as good. But when Lambert plays, they win 70-something percent of the time. When he doesn't play, it's under 50%.
Yeah, and we haven't seen a hell of a lot of Prestia, Lambert and Martin in the same team. I think they've only played 13 times in the last 2.5 years team.
A lot of people, I know, we got Dusty, but outside of that, Prestia is their most important player.
Absolutely is, yep.
Redmond likely to be cited by the MRO this afternoon for that elbow on Prestia.
He should get off that. That's a fine, you wouldn't have thought.
What about, the week before, Lynch's elbow. How's that any different to Lynch's?
Well, I thought it was intentional. It was high and it was clearly low or maybe no impact. So the best argument he's got is it didn't have an effect on Prestia.
Yeah, well, that's right. So Lynch actually, you know, someone had cut eye.
Yeah. Brownie, there's a little bit of controversy surrounding Luke Beveridge's press. I want to get to that later. And I'll tell you a couple of interesting issues going on at the AFL behind the scenes at the moment on Tasmania.
Ooh.
And also this floating fixture, which is causing some controversy.
That's a bit of a tease. Jay doesn't tease things, does he? That's a tease. I'm sitting there going, I want to know about this Tasmania thing.
Some big injuries.
He's really good. Okay.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
What an absolute belter.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Hawthorn up against Brisbane from Tasmania today, but last night it was dream time at the G, and it was the Tigers of old who beat the Bombers. The Bombers put up a good performance, but Shane Edwards is an absolute star. 21 disposals last night and a goal. 291 games, 3 premierships. Welcome to the Sunday Rub, Shane Edwards.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome to be here, mate. Last night, I thought it was fantastic when you guys at the start of the game were involved in the Welcome to Country, and I believe that you guys practiced that throughout the week, and it just set up the night.
Yeah, yeah. We'd actually been planning it for a few months. A couple of rehearsals during the week, and all the guys seemed to have nailed it. We didn't know how it went down at the time because we were out the front, not looking around sort of thing. So, no, I was a bit nervous, but good to get that out of the way. And, yeah, I'm really proud to have done it.
And then the game started. At times it was a spiteful game. You realised that Essendon was going to have a response, but there was a little bit of niggle out there. And how did you feel that response went?
Oh, we were expecting, you know, something like that after the week they've had. And I suppose getting on the front foot and not backing down when they do come. And I thought we did that. I thought, yeah, it's the Dreamtime games are always pretty heated regardless of how the teams are going. So it wasn't really anything unexpected for us.
Hey, Shane, tell us about this, I guess, mini evolution that the club's going through at the moment. I think I was a non-believer at the start of the year. I thought you might have just gone over that cliff and maybe, you know, time for a mini rebuild to some degree. But your last 3 weeks, just starting to build into something nicely. Short's gone into the middle. You've got Rioli now loving playing off half back. It's a different look, but it's an ominous look.
Yeah, I think we're seeing different strengths around the field now. I think having Liam Baker and Daniel Rioli, well, Daniel's been there all year, but Liam's gone back from the forward line to the back line, and they really complement us winning ground balls and attacking the other way, and moving that allows us to move Shorty in the midfield, who can really use the ball, and he accumulates the ball as well, which is something that we haven't been great at as a midfield. So he's added that element, and also moving the ball a bit faster to get, you know, Lynchy one-on-ones and, you know, getting Shea isolated as well. So I think there's a few things that we're focusing on that probably haven't been front of mind other years.
Well, Shane, I know we don't want to get too far ahead, but you've got a great game in Sydney next week against the Swannies. But then you go to the bye, if looking at it sounds correct. Do you guys think we'll stay in Sydney and maybe spend some time together, or you got the license to take off and refresh? What's the plan? Don't tell me you haven't looked either, mate.
I know the bye's coming. We haven't spoken about it as a team, but I'm pretty sure guys will probably have the license just to refresh. I can't really give you a straight answer, but I think some guys will probably stay. Some guys might actually go home to their home state. Me personally, I'll probably go back to Adelaide for a few days to see the family. But yeah, nothing definite yet.
Just don't tell us that Dusty's going to stay in Sydney for a few days, Shane, because you'll get the Richmond fans in the knickers in a knot if you say that. Hey, what would you say, because you've got your game back in regards to the turnover game, which has been Richmond's greatest strength, the forward half pressure. If you were to say Richmond's very best when you won those premierships, what would you give it out of 10 where you think the team's game's at the moment?
In terms of our forward half game?
Just how you play, your brand, yeah.
I think if our premiership year was a 10, I would say it's maybe a 7.
Hmm.
We're going pretty well. There's certainly areas of improvement. And I think in-game adjustments probably are things we can work on as well. Using the ball a bit better when teams flood back, things like that. I don't know. I'm sitting on the fence till the 7. Yeah, so right. we'll just go with that.
Shane, now obviously form ebbs and flows. You had a quieter patch recently, for example, last week against the Hawks, but responded beautifully last night. Is that driven by you, or does Dimmer take you aside on that front, or how do you sort of bounce back?
Yeah, I suppose Dimmer's always had great belief in me personally. So he just, you know, I suppose gives me the license to figure out how to get myself involved in games. Last week was a bit different. I was a sub, so it was pretty hard to get involved when I was sitting on the bench for 3 quarters. But this week, getting some continuity on the wing over the last month has been something I'm trying to build my game around. But the injuries we've had early on with I suppose like-for-like players in the midfield and on the peripheries has meant that a handful of us have had to move positions often. So some games you're getting involved, some games you just have to play your role and you know, get to the outside. So each week's different, but as long as you're holding up with the fundamentals, you should be all right.
Shedder, investing money is a dangerous game sometimes. And I had a Blackbird clothing label many, many years ago, which I lost a fair bit of money on. The store didn't work down on Chapel Street, but I seem to remember giving you at least 15 free T-shirts. Now, is that where I started to go wrong in the business, giving away too many freebies?
I don't know how you went broke. They're the best T-shirts I've ever had.
And, well, free ones always are.
Hey, the hand-me-downs to my younger brother. He still wears a few of them. So they're still floating around, Brownie. They're out there.
Hey, Shane, who's the most excitable player at your club at the moment? We know you've got Dusty. You're a highly skilled player. But Shay Bolton, every time he goes near the ball, something happens. Has he taken over the mantle as the X-factor player?
Doc just asked you a question and answered it for himself.
You better say Shay Bolton.
I said, has he taken over as the X-factor player?
It was going to be the one I was going to say anyway. he's unreal. I think his fitness level's improved just over the preseason. So he's fresher when he's got the ball. He's added a bit of size, his lower body as well. So yeah, he's more powerful and he's finishing off his work as well. So I wouldn't want to, you know, be left out in the 50 with him or left on the wing. He's impossible one-on-one. So it's exciting. He's still only young. I think he's 23, 24, so he's got a huge future.
Well, Shane, you've won three premierships so far. You've won four in a row now. In the last four, the Tigers are back in the eight. Good luck in trying to hunt for that fourth premiership.
Thanks, Brownie. Fingers crossed.
Shane Edwards, thanks, Richmond mate. Star, been a really good player. I remember when he came down to the footy club and he would have been 62 kilos and just a young, respectful kid who was just, he had a thirst for learning. And to play 291, you're going to play 300 games. That's a damn good effort.
Oh, he's a special player. And he's one of those players where when the club was going poorly, he used to coach a game. I thought, gee, he's got a lot of attributes. He's quick, he's skillful. And
as soon as he got good players around him, he blossomed.
He was incredible. And he was the one when they were in trouble. They put him, I remember he did against the Dockers. They put him inside. He just ripped their last quarter apart. You know, probably you hope at 34, an Indigenous role model, you know, he continues to, he'll probably, who knows, he's going to play next year, but you'd love him to sort of stay in the game and influence young Aboriginal players coming through because what he's done has been very special.
Flew under the radar for a long time.
Yeah.
And I reckon he evolved every year. I think he got better and better and better every year.
And then became All Australian. Yep. He got, all of that came late.
Triple M rocks footy.
How good has this been?
The Sunday Rub, Hawthorn up against Brisbane later on today. This is the Sunday Rub for McDonald's Arena Hot Water, Triple M Rocks footy, Joey.
We just spoke to Shane Edwards and you spoke about how they did the ceremony and all the players got involved in the Welcome to Country ceremony. I thought it was brilliant. It just reminded me, because I did the game last night for Triple M, Brian Taylor, we know the best caller at Triple M, best in the business and an ultimate professional. Leroy, have you got the audio there? Because BT, well, sometimes, Brownie, you know, when you're hosting, things just don't always go to script. And just listen to BT just trying to pad while we were waiting for the Welcome to Country to start.
Okay, we're just waiting on the start of proceedings. I think it's Abby Holmes, isn't it, out there in the middle, about to do it. She's looking a little jittery and nervy. But she's got... it's not. Okay. So we retract that and we go... It's someone we're not sure of. But there's an MC out there, Ash, and I'm not sure what we're waiting for at the moment, but the MCG has gone awfully quiet. Listen to this. 75,000 in the house, and it's just hissing. Psst, psst. Oh, fantastic. Unbelievable. Everyone's wondering, what the... is going on. No one knows. So, Ash, let's continue.
Was he heading with that?
He thought the ceremony was going to start. He realised about 20 seconds in that he had to just keep padding. He had nowhere to go. In the end, he couldn't do it any longer. He had to throw to Chew Man for a couple more stats. Oh, it made me laugh, Rossi.
Look, it'd be a difficult position, Joey. I'm not sure I'd do it much better. I'd like an attempt, though. Very difficult. Yeah, very difficult.
I want to ask you blokes a question because we've just had the election. So Scott Morrison, obviously, he goes into this election. He would be thinking that he's a chance to win, Tom. Yeah? So, a sort of chance. Yeah, the funnier things have happened. So let's talk about living arrangements. So Scott Morrison at the moment is in the lodge. So what is the process now? How long does it take him? Obviously, he lives there for free. He doesn't own a lodge, but he's probably got other houses. But do you have other houses when you're the Prime Minister? So what is the process? Who is packing his stuff up? Does it happen today? Or would he have pre-packed it? Or is he now looking at realestate.com, looking for a short-term rental where he can move the family?
Do they give him 30 days? Like,
how does it work? You know, does he have to be out of the lodge?
Does he get his bond
by Monday?
Does he get his bond back?
Does he have to be out of the lodge by Monday,
Tom?
You get a grace period, but I thought about this yesterday. You'd want either on Thursday night or Friday night, you sit down with your wife, look over the harbour, just ask one of your servants there at the lodge just to arrange a little sherry or a little scotch. You'd look out on the harbour and think, you know what, if I'm going to lose on Saturday, just enjoy this moment for one moment. Probably one of the best views in Australia. But I think you get a 1 week grace period, then it'll be back to the Shire, which is where he lives, isn't it?
Yes, Sutherland Shire, yeah, and the beautiful Shire. And I wonder if he got like my dad. My kid said it. Dad, you had one job. All you had to do is win some games. Now we're going to pack up and come back to Melbourne. Like, imagine the conversation with the wife. Yeah. Like, and so what's we're the... giving up this.
And what's the process now for a Prime Minister, Tom? Does he get a wage for the rest of his life because he's been the Prime Minister, or does his wage go back to zero now? How does it work? Does he have protective agents with him like the American president?
No, I'm venturing into uneducated areas, but I do believe you get a duck. Don't underestimate us.
Where is duck, by the way?
You get a pension and a paid office, which is more if you get sacked.
You get some cushy jobs on boards. You become a lobbyist. You can get the people. Yeah, end up on some good spots, Brownie.
But he's kept his seat. Josh Frydenberg has been touted as a potential prime minister, has lost his seat. So at least officially, by the end of this week, providing the post polling doesn't save him, he'll be officially out of a job. But again, he gets some pretty attractive.
Well, he's not like Bill Clinton, probably that level. But when he'd charge a few hundred thousand to do a luncheon, wouldn't he, Bill?
A few hundred thousand.
Yeah, he was like off the planet.
Yeah, that's a big.
Well,
job,
the duck probably get. What does the duck get for a sportsman's lunch? So, if the Prime Minister, imagine what he could do on the country circuit.
Yeah, he'll earn a good earn, but he's still in his seat, the Prime Minister. So I think from a commercial perspective, he can only really do that post. Well, can you double earn? Can you get a double dip there, Ross?
Anything's possible in this country. That's why we love it.
Do you think that he flattened that little kid in the soccer game? Do you think that hurt his chance?
You've uncovered some knowledge here, Joey.
Yeah, so I think the current salary for a sitting prime minister is just over $500,000, is what I was told.
So you're on more than Brownie and Duck?
Yeah, that's right.
Tom, what happens after?
Just reading this, I think that you get a bunch of extras once you leave, including advisors, car costs, office establishment and leave costs, so they pay for you to move out.
Does he just walk? He doesn't go through the rebuild like an AFL coach. He rebuild, we'll come back. Or he just goes.
They chase him out of Western Australia like they did you.
And this lasts until he dies. So he gets it for life now. All those extras.
Yeah, you get an offer. Yeah. You get a driver. You get an office. You get a PA. So you should. Like, really, they're underpaid.
That's the election news. We're very well versed at that. But Tom, let's do some more AFL news.
Luke Beveridge's press conferences are always entertaining post-game. He's always got a few nuggets and a few interesting ideas on things. Interesting yesterday, Aaron Norton kicked 3 goals to half-time, was goalless in the second half, playing on, I think it was Sam Collins, and this was Bevo's response.
Yeah, I've got to be really careful here. Because he's been so dominant. And then, yeah, there are reasons why he wasn't in the second half. That's all I'll say.
Was that some of the blocking maybe in the second half?
I've got to be really careful. Yeah.
I've checked with the AFL, no official complaint as yet. I've also checked with the Dogs. They don't quite know the specifics of what he was referring to. But, Joey, you've already done some investigations.
It's interesting. I mean, you put it on notice, don't you, Ross, sometimes as a coach, when one of your star players, you want to be able to try and make sure that, you throw it out there for the umpires to potentially keep an eye on it, just to let everybody know that maybe your star players are, getting a little bit mistreated off the ball.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Like, it's quite cryptic. But you're putting it out there.
So for other people to do the work and find out.
Yeah, Luke knows. You can make it good. Like, I hardly ever rang the umpires department and you didn't get it. You wouldn't get a response that week, but you get one maybe the next week's time because they probably didn't want
to. Does the coach make the call to the AFL umpiring department?
You cut the footage, put it together, you build it up over a couple of weeks. I think this is one off. But for me, you actually build attention. And other clubs go, well, geez, let's see how they played him. And I think Norton's issue is he's such a super athlete. When he can run and launch at the ball, he is unstoppable. But we could go back. I remember Joel Hamling, who we play for the Dockers. We beat the Bulldogs, and Norton was young, obviously, but he took his leap off him, and Joel's a slight defender, but played with real body and checked him. And you could go back, it might be worth your research on one of your shows, Joe, and Luke sort of intimated the same thing after the game. So I think you've got to be a little bit careful. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, look, forever coaches have stuck up for their star players and I guess rang the umpires department and all that sort of stuff. It never works, Ross. No. It never really changes. For Aaron though, he will go back and what Luke will do with him is he'll go back and he'll look at his tape. Just got to find other ways, because the one thing, obviously that's one of his great strengths. He's got other strengths, by the way. One of his strengths is to go to stoppages. He's good below his knee, so he does a lot of things right. But he's got to now learn ways to attack the marking contest.
Well, let's be honest. When you're a gun, they try and find ways to stop you.
Team defences are being tweaked, Wayne. I think people are coming back to playing with a bit more body, like a Wiedering or whatever.
And there's a bit more one-on-one. They're playing closer. So unlike, you know, Darcy Moore a few weeks ago where he gave a lot of room. Mm. They're playing more one-on-one. So it's just all about angles, and it's about getting separation from your defender, not starting in the same positions. There's a lot of different things that you have to invariably do to make –
Did it feel like it was a bit over the top, though, bringing it up? I mean, we watched this morning a lot of the highlights and one-on-one contest that Aaron Norton had in the second half, and it didn't look like there was a lot to it. It looked like two players scrappling and the ball came to ground. I didn't see a free kick in any of it, and the umpires didn't pay him a free kick.
But I'd argue the other way then as well, Brownie. Okay, so, yeah, probably didn't need to bring it up, but do we need to be talking about the fact that he brought it up? I don't think it's that big a deal that he actually spoke about it either. But we'll talk about it all.
But if you're Stuart Jew...
Let's wait for his press conference.
You wouldn't be wrapped if you're Stuart Jew or you're Collins. Because to Collins' credit, he does roll off and play with a leg rope a bit and you launch. But he's got the clip at halftime off the coach or the advice off his line coach. Let's adjust and let's do this. And he's delivered. So there's two sides to this. Collins has turned his craft around. But if you're Gold Coast, you're a little bit... I'd be protecting my player, like Collins. If I'm Collins, I'm thinking, geez, I hope Stewie Jew stands up for me here.
Is it definitely
hits back?
Is he definitely talking about Aaron Norton?
We're talking about it because he put it on the agenda.
Yeah,
and
but
he put
he
it on the agenda.
He's definitely talking about Aaron Norton.
Yeah, the question was in regards to Norton. He did it in quite a theatrical way, and you don't see coaches bring these sort of things up too often in a press conference post game. And the fact that he started with, "I've got to be very, very careful," quite theatrically.
Yeah, I know, but
and it was like almost like an audition for some Broadway show.
I still don't think it's that big a deal that we're hearing a coach stick up for a player.
Wants us to do the work for him and then bring it up in the media.
I get it. But you know what? One of the things that coaches and Ross, you're entertaining in press conference. One of the things that look, if he got in there and said nothing, would be saying, "Oh, what a boring." But you know what? It gives us something to talk about. And I haven't looked over the vision. I don't know how, like all of the vision and behind the goals and any of that. So he has all of that. I don't. But I don't mind the fact that you say that. Gives us something
legitimate.
To talk about.
Maybe his point's legitimate. Yeah, like, well, correct. Joey's gone over it. Thoroughly, Joey.
Or Joey will have a look tonight. Joey will get home and
try and find some examples.
Split the atom.
That's it. Exactly.
Just on the Bulldogs, English coming back from that debilitating flu, Duray and Waitman should be available for selection for their next game. JJ Johannesson's another week off. I think he's now got the flu as well. Just on Dew yesterday, a lot of discussion during the week, and he's in a difficult position, Stuart Dew, as to his contract status. They're 4-6 now, but they've got winnable games coming up, Hawthorn North by Adelaide. That's an important month for Stuart Dew because he's got to get ahead of the ledger before he runs into some more difficult teams.
Tom, this might be a silly question. I don't know why I'm going to ask it, but has COVID completely gone out of AFL footy?
The issue at the moment is that players, obviously, particularly in the West, are getting COVID, and there's truckloads of players bad flus.
So we're getting thousands of cases still here every day, but all of a sudden now... Every player that is out with an illness, it's the flu and it's not COVID. So that's all I'm hearing now. All that I hear now, and by the way, my young fella, my 3-year-old's got a flu right now, but that's all we're talking about now, the flu, not COVID.
It's a very good point. They still rat test the players in Melbourne, don't they? The Melbourne clubs still rat test?
Yeah, points on that. 2 times a week they're now being rat tested, but the clubs can't lie on the COVID protocols issue.
I think Jordan Ridley was laid out with health and safety, was he, against
Richmond? Yeah, he was.
Richmond, so there's one.
But... There is a medical view, and this is one medical view, that it's possible that the flu and gastro is due to the relaxation of the isolation and mask-wearing rules and maybe people not rushing to get their flu vaccine. I actually contacted a doctor, a leading doctor, in regards to that during the week. I don't know why there's more flu, but that's one theory.
Hmm. No, I didn't mean why
there's
more flu.
No, but you're right. There's less players missing with health and safety protocols.
We're hearing the flu, not anything else.
Yeah, but the flu's not code for health and safety protocols. I'm convinced they're different. But there's a lot of flu cases. Pendlebury, a case in point, last Friday, just before the game.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Some blokes are quick, but they can't play. So
Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Sunday Rub. Hawthorne up against Brisbane from Tasmania. And we welcome the head of footy for Hawthorne, Rob McCartney from Tasmania. And Rob, it's been a very fruitful sponsorship down in Tasmania to the tune of $4 to $5 million a year the last few years. Where does that sit now that the AFL are keen to bring in a team in Tassie in the coming seasons?
Oh, look, I suppose it remains to be seen, Nathan. Obviously, a little bit of work still to be done for that 19th team. And when that comes, I suppose there's some conversations that have to be had between the Tassie government and our club in regards to, you know, the continuation of our time down here. Now, one thing I would say is that, you know, we love it down here and enjoy playing down here. We've had some good success. We made it a little bit of a fortress for a while. Probably not quite the fortress at the moment, but we'd like to continue to have an association with Tasmania, that's for sure.
Rob, Tom Brown, just in terms of the coaching setup at the moment, we know there's the soft cap. It's been much spoken about during the year in terms of whether the AFL will increase that soft cap or amend it. Obviously, you had Clarko depart last year. Has that amount of money impacted the coaching structure and, I guess, what you can afford to do this year?
Oh, look, it hasn't affected the coaching structure. We've definitely got the coaches around Sam. We made that a priority that we weren't going to shortchange Sam in his first year and in terms of coaching support. You know, Robert Harvey's come in and been a great addition to that group. And then we've got Adrian Hickmott, Chris Newman and David Hale. So we've got a good structure around Sam and, you know, they're developing, you know, great rapport between them. And we've really been impressed. You know, we're only nine games in, but, you know, they've handled the fluctuations of games pretty well and are learning, you know, together and becoming a really cohesive group. So, no, it hasn't impacted what we wanted to put around Sam, that's for sure.
So, yeah, so you've got a good coaching panel, but any other services around the player group? Because, I mean, a soft cap, it is finite, it is limited. So
that's right.
So did it take a chunk out that you typically would have been able to spend and you'll be able to, already you're planning for next year that we can get those resources back in, or are you saying it had no impact?
No impact on the coaching, as I mentioned before, Ross, but
all
as
resources,
you know,
though, yeah.
Yeah, but in terms of resources, there's definitely, if money's going to someone outside of what your football program is, that means you can't spend that money on some things. So, yes, we'll have the ability to obviously resource in other areas that we haven't been able to next year in regards to this year. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
And Sam's done a really good job, Rob, at the start of the season in particular, probably slowed in recent weeks, in regards to just finding the balance between playing the experienced players that are still on the list and giving opportunity to the youngsters. We see Sam Butler playing today, and we know Ward, McDonald have all got opportunity. How have you found that balance, and how's Sam found the balance between giving exposure to the youngsters and playing the senior players in the same side?
Yeah, look, he's very pro that, and he knows that we've got to get games into our younger players, Lee, in the sense that, you know, even last week we played the Tigers and we had 12 players who played less than 50 games. They had four.
Yeah.
And on the other end, they had eight players who'd played over 150. We had three. So we've got to correct those imbalances. As we know, you know, experience counts for a hell of a lot in our game, and the only way you get experience is by getting exposure. So we'll continue to play the young lads. We've been really impressed with what we're seeing, though. Like, you know, the development of Newcomb this year, you know, after only coming in the mid-season draft has been impressive. Lewis has taken another step. Been able to see him play with Kaczynski in the last couple of weeks, and we're starting to like what we see there. You know, Jyth comes back in the team today, and his first five rounds were pretty exciting, and he's getting into that 30-game bracket. You know, and Dylan Moore's probably another one that... you know, just by the fact of getting more games, more exposure, we're starting to see what, you know, maybe they'll be able to produce for our club for a number of years.
Rob, I think we all agree that we probably underestimated some of the young talent that you had on the list. And I think now that they've been given an opportunity, I think we're definitely seeing that. But what about the noise of, a lot of people within the industry that that we work in, and that is saying some of your older players don't have currency anymore, and if you were to go to the draft and maybe trade a few of them, what about that sort of noise? How do you address that?
Oh, look, the key part is that we have to get our more experienced players to buy into what we're doing, and we haven't seen anything but that. You know, a lot of people I know, I read the papers, I hear the radio stories talking about, you know, these players, you know, possibly looking to play elsewhere or creating currency to play elsewhere. Look, at the moment, what we would see in its current form is that those players see the role that they have to play to help their club get back to being great again, and they've totally bought in. Like, you look at Luke Bruce and the work he's done with both Dylan Moore and Sam Butler, as an example of that. Yeah, we couldn't be more impressed with our older players and what they're doing to help give Hawthorn its chance to be successful again.
Speaking to the head of footy from Hawthorn, Rob McCartney, on the Sunday Rub, James Sicily's name comes up a lot when talking about the potential next captain of the football club.
Yeah, look, he's had the chance with Ben McAvoy being injured to captain the side. This will be his fourth game captaining the side, and we've been super impressed with James. He's authentic. He is himself, and we like what he brings to the group. He doesn't try to be anything other than James Sicily, and that you know, is a player who's got strong emotions, but control of those emotions now. He's a player that the others listen to, want to follow. He's a great player in the game too, isn't he? He's an exciting player, and I have no doubt he has the capabilities of being a leader for our football club going into the future. Now, whether that's captain remains to be seen, but I think he's got all the attributes.
Hey, Rob, I heard a little story about James and I guess the way the playing group viewed him. And we often talk, Ross, about players getting away together, but I'm led to believe that it wasn't until an end-of-season trip where a few of the boys got away together and actually found out a little bit more about James and what made him tick, which invariably then made him a little bit more confident around the group, more liked, therefore invariably could lead this footy club.
Yeah, you're right, Duck, while you're looking at it. Sometimes you just get underneath the surface and you understand their background and their challenges, and you know, you see more depth of character in them. But he's been a great story. I couldn't agree more with Rob how he controls his emotion now.
So did you hear that, Rob? Did you understand that?
You'd probably understand it, Wayne, in your time with footy trips and getting away with your teammates and the bonding that takes place on those occasions. I don't get to do footy trips as such nowadays, but there was a group that got to play a fair bit of golf and went overseas to do that before COVID hit. And it was his time that he spent with the Gunstons and the time. It was actually the Hodges and the Lewises, and even, you know, that crew, and they started to see that this young fellow was more than just the person that they'd seen in the four walls of the football club, and they grew to like what they saw. And I think sometimes just acceptance by that group, it's amazing how that just allows you a little bit of an inroad into having a greater influence, having a greater say within the group. And that definitely probably was a turning point for James. But the beauty is that not only does he now have good relationships with those that are older than him, he's got great relationships with the younger players because of, you know, the age gap isn't great. He can remember himself playing at Box Hill and having some of those struggles too. So it doesn't hurt to have been through those experiences. And by having the ability to go across the group, that's, you know, really important when you're talking about captaincy.
And just speaking of great people, I always love, Rob, running into Jack Gunson when I see him at the VFL or around the traps. He's unfortunately got an ankle injury, I think, at the moment. There were some varying accounts at the start of the week on the severity of that. What's the latest there?
Yeah, so he's had a bad run, hasn't he? You know, with the back, obviously, and not playing a lot of footy last year, but we've really liked seeing him back in our team, and he's been playing some good footy. Unfortunately, a little bit of a medial ankle injury last week. We've got the bye in about 3 to 4 weeks' time. Now, whether he plays the game before the bye or the game after the bye, that'll be about the time frame, I think, that Jack's got out of the game. But he's pretty diligent, Jack. He'll do everything he needs to do to get back in the shortest amount of time. And as we've seen early in the season, he's probably made the Lewises and the Kosicki's, you know, better players than probably maybe what they were last year without him. So he's an important part for us in the second half of the season.
Rob, you've lost your last four, but you've been in a winning position in all of those. All the very best against the Brisbane Lions down in Tassie today.
Thanks, Nath. Thanks, guys.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
So a bit of spice in this one.
Triple M rocks footy.
Hawthorn up against the Brisbane Lions. This is the Sunday rub for McDonald's Ream Hot Water. Built tough resolutions when it comes to water heating. Ask your plumber to install a Ream. Everybody's favourite part of the show is the quiz. And at the moment, the tally is Duck 2, Joey 1, JZ 1, and Ross is 1. Joey feels like you've... I feel like you've won more.
We're at round 10. You've got, four results.
Well, we've done a couple of short shows. We're getting a couple of short shows.
I reckon I've got Duck covered.
Is he just looking at the answers while you...
No, I don't
face
do that.
Down, Duck over here.
Yes.
That's not you and Howie type stuff from back in the day. Who got accused of cheating?
Jay.
Oh, just.
Oh, no, you when you watched the Sunday footy show and you got half the answers.
Oh, and hang on, can I go to that?
You've had.
You know why Duck was a great player? Because he takes feedback, right? Yeah. So I get my victory and, you know, it was a question off the Channel 9 because I get up and tune in. What was the Duck watching today?
Channel 9 footy
Channel 9
show.
Yeah. Footy show. It was about the quiz.
It was too. You were too. You're clever.
Okay, so I've just been told that Joey was on two. But then that got redacted because you went to the producer and complained about the Sydney captain one, which was one question. But unfortunately, Joey won that one by four. Yeah. So you take one off and he still wins by three.
Did you ever come second in a BNF, Duck?
Because...
And then go to Dennis and say, mate, you would have taken it up, wouldn't you?
Our system was if you missed a couple of games, almost impossible to win. So in the years that it was there, I missed four or five.
And then Dennis had a few on for you.
Hey?
It's okay, son, we'll make it up.
We'll make it up for you. Yeah, that's 800 grand you're getting in 1993.
No, but I agree with you on the BNFs.
We'll take a bit off Rocky.
It shouldn't be the average. It should be, they some should cut systems, out your two worst. And...
Some systems, if you miss games, like Fife didn't win the year he won the Brown. Was there one year that Fife didn't win when he won the Brownlow or something?
15. Anyway. Oh, I used to make sure he won it.
Okay, if you're listening, let's get into Nathan. It. Have you been paying attention?
No. Nope.
Who won the Yayukan Award in last? That was Lily.
Yeah, that was Dion Prestia.
Dion Prestia for one for Joey. Just need to get my little tally board up here. One for Joey.
Feeling good today.
Okay. Outside of the MCG, which two other venues have hosted?
Duck. Lily.
That was Duck.
That was Perth and Darwin.
Yes. Well, the name of the stadiums as well. That'd be great.
Optus and Kazali, I don't know. But
it doesn't matter. That's in Cairns.
I'll give it to him. TIO, Darwin.
I said Darwin.
You're on notice. Get him right.
See how they all just gang up on me.
Of course we do. You're always playing with an outnumber on your
day one. Yes. Yeah, you're used to it.
So the roll aim of the game the is Tom. You go Tom if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Tom. We didn't do the duck. Tom,
you want to buzz? Can we just test the buzzers?
Can we just test Tom's buzzer because he hasn't buzzed yet?
Oh, and mine.
Top round. It's all working.
Tom, your whole name.
I was going to say, by the time you get that out, Tom will have the answers answered.
It'll be 6 o'clock.
Crossroads.
Okay, here we go. What relation is Maurice Rioli Jr.? That was Duck.
Lily.
Uncle.
That is correct. Duck going to
older, younger, but
no, we didn't ask for anything else, mate.
He's 6 years older.
Which
he's six years younger than Daniel,
which
but he's
young
his uncle.
Essendon star penned a 2-year contract extension this week.
Duck. Would be young Martin.
Incorrect.
Ross.
This should be your area, Tom. Tom?
Jones.
Incorrect.
Lele. Jai Caldwell.
No.
Perkins.
It is Perkins, so no one gets that one.
By the way, Martin did.
Nick Martin did. That was the week before.
But he's not young.
So this week.
That was the week before.
Once again.
Who was the round 9 rising star nomination? Lee.
Ross.
Yeah, you can have it, Ross. I don't know.
Durden.
Yes, Ross. Okay. I and have two. Question F. Who took over as
Kev? Ross.
Yes.
McVeigh.
He certainly did. McVeigh. All right.
He's on today, Ross.
It's a Sudafed.
Cryptic name game. A legendary player and coach whose surname can be defined as...
Ross. Jeans.
Incorrect. A thick rope or wire or hemp used for construction, mooring ships and towing vehicles.
Duck. Cable.
Hang on. I heard that too.
Yes, there's cheating.
There's something going
there
on.
I can hear Barry Cable from here. There's been some unauthorised intervention here. And the producer needs to be a really good look at himself.
Now we know.
Hang on, this is a Watergate moment.
This is Watergate.
Leroy, I need to find that audio again. Can you bring it back? We'll come back to it. And then I'll make a decision on what's happening. He should be stripped of all his points for the year. Suspend all betting.
Hey, hang on. Don't blame me.
I want to see your contract. If it's in there that you have to win the best and fairest.
This feels like there's a...
Okay.
No, this isn't good.
I need you to complete this term, a Brownlow medal winner, something and services tax.
Lily.
Yes.
Goods.
Yes,
Lee. Well done. Good one.
Joey to two.
Good one.
A former Carlton...
Don't try and suck up now that you've been busted, Jim.
He's rattled.
An Adelaide superstar...
Start again.
...whose surname is also something you'd place on a horse.
Duck.
Lily.
Yes, duck.
Saddle.
Yes. Ross.
Yes.
Cloth. Saddle cloth.
Lily.
Yes, Lee.
Reigns.
Nope.
Too long.
Eddie Betts. So a bet. He'd place on a horse.
Oh, you played Betts. Nobody got that one.
Okay, Rioli. I will play you audio of one of the Riolis doing something miraculous on the footy field. All I need from you is the name of which Rioli
it was. Cyril. Who else did anything really?
Let's do the first one.
Now Rioli going around the boundary line.
Senior.
Yes. So... Joey goes to three. Just test that buzzer again, Tom.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell you the real reason I'm distracted slightly in a minute.
Here is something big. The second Rioli.
Shepherd did well to arrive late. Rioli.
Cyril.
No.
Lele.
Ross.
Yes, Ross.
Daniel.
Yes. Okay. Before we go any further, I just want to have an investigation into Duck's cheating. So let's go back to that and let's listen to, just see if you can hear something. Could you hear it in the background there? Let's just play it one more time. I need you to turn it right up, Leroy.
Cable.
Yes, it's
Now listen, I did not cheat.
I understand that.
I did not cheat.
So would have you said, actually, Brownie, I can't answer that because the producer's given me the answer.
It should have been buzzed out anyway.
I think it was directed to me. You could understand I need the help. Okay. But you,
Cable.
I'm just saying, I know you go home and cuddle Tyler and look her in the eye.
I've been told.
Look him in the eye.
By the producer here, Leroy, that maybe it was into Tom Brown's ears and that it spilled out. So maybe.
Well, that's okay. Then.
Okay, so we've turned it right up. Let's have a listen again. Leroy?
Yep. Bad radio. Yep.
He's pretty much still.
He's got the replay.
any time today.
It's quite definitely clear.
There. Yeah. Okay. Duck, I'm not going to take a point away because it wasn't you cheating.
But he answered it.
But he didn't get a point for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was his intent, though. He used it.
Jeez.
Oh, come on. If you're a lion and someone drops a zebra on your doorstep, you're not going to eat it?
It was careless, reckless, not intentional.
A zebra?
Who eats zebras?
Lions.
Okay.
I said if you're a lion and someone drops a zebra, here's the third reality.
Pick it up.
Yeah. Morgan just coughed it up. Opportunity for the Tigers. Rioli's going to stream
Duck,
in.
Duck. Morris Jr.
Yes, Morris Jr. for Duck. So Duck now goes to three.
It had to be because Joey three, Ross three. The ones.
Okay, Ross, you ready for this one? Yeah. Number four.
Long ball.
Lele.
He leaves it for Buddy.
Yes.
Duck.
Lele. Yes, I'm Cyril. He's answered Cyril every time, Ross. I even said, are you ready,
Well,
Ross?
I don't know.
Joey in a four.
I felt guilty.
And he's the last Rioli.
Ryan slips over as he gathers. He hand passes over his head. Yeah, it might come off okay.
No.
Tom,
who was it?
You
tell me. You're not even paying attention, Tom Brown.
It's Rioli.
Clearly Rioli.
Yeah, which one?
Can we replay it? No, let's get on to the next one. General knowledge. It was Willie Rioli.
Willie.
So Doug Nichols round. Who was named captain of the AFL's Indigenous Team of the Century?
Duck. That would probably be Cable.
No.
Ross.
No. Yes.
Polly Farmer. Polly Farmer, it'd be. Oh. Sorry. I just
okay. had a Polly Farmer.
You had a brain fade.
Yeah.
Polly Farmer, thank you.
Okay. Wonder Ross.
Mm. Wasn't he? He changed.
He was the VFL. Changed the game. Changed
Who
the
was game. Named coach and rover of the AFL's Duck. Indigenous team of the century?
Duck Duck.
Yes.
Now that would be Cable.
Barry Cable. That goes to four. Nearest to the pin, so everybody gets a go at this. Even you, Tom. Switch on. How many career games did Sean and Peter Burgoyne combine for?
Duck Duck. You, so this closest to pin.
Ross. Everybody gets closest to pin.
Yeah. Okay. Go. So I will say, 623.
Well, Sean.
Oh, come on, Tom.
I'll go 610. Ross.
630.
Nah, it's closer to 700. I'll take 680.
Nah, Ross, it was 647. So, Ross.
I'll tell you what, pretty good. Well. Pretty good.
How many did I get for that?
Well, just the one.
The fact that I had first crack at it, I gave you a cider.
Sean Burgoyne holds the record.
You always go last, typically.
I just did my maths wrong. I wrote down 380 and 250. That is 640.
But you got a lakeside high
too. Well, I said 740.
Sean Burgoyne holds the record for the most AFL games played by an Indigenous Australian. Who sits second
Ross.
And third on that list?
Craig Bradley, Michael Tuck.
Bradley, it was me. Duck.
No,
Sorry, I forgot the Indigenous. I forgot the Indigenous.
I think it would be Adam Goods and Michael O'Loughlin.
Be McLeod.
Yes, well done, Duck.
And who?
Who you just said?
Hang on.
Which one of those?
What? Which one of Goods or McLeod?
Goods.
Yeah, it was Goods. Yeah. Duck 5, Joey 4, Ross 5. Okay, this is the Who Am I? I was born on the 11th of August, 1977, and I played 204 games across three clubs. I am, for 4 points, the two-time premiership player. One at my first club, one at my second club.
Lily.
Yes.
Byron Pickett.
Byron Pickett is it.
That's a great guess.
Bang!
Joey wins the quiz for this week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was ducking.
Outstanding work. The 3 points that he got Byron Pickett, who was a great player, Duck, for you guys.
He's very good. Tough.
Okay, so I tell you what, Tom Brown's looking at me like he needs to get out of here. He's got a few commitments that he needs to get to.
Just goes
to show you can follow footy and not really know anything about it.
Well, no apologies.
Truth be known, there was a lot of text coming through. I think this is a story.
Breaking story. A potential out this afternoon. There could be a late change.
Is this
COVID,
exclusive?
Health and safety protocol or the flu?
It could be the flu, right?
Is this exclusive or has it already been said by...
And just briefly, there's some strong club resistance at the moment to a 19th licence, not Tasmania, but a 19th licence. Gil McLaughlin in the background is trying to work through that at the moment because I know at least one prominent club, and they're an interstate club, that will not support a 19th licence. So I don't want to make this an anti-Tasmania discussion, but that's what's going on that front at the moment.
A powerful interstate club or
powerful at the commission level. No, not an expansion team.
West Coast.
Interesting.
Oh, massive news. So Tom Brown, go and do what you need to do. You're filling in for Jay-Z today. You're doing a great job so far. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brownie.
Awesome.
Triple M rocks footy.
Starting to rock and roll.
McDonald's Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy. The Hawks taking on the Brisbane Lions from Tasmania. And I wanted to get into the minds of these boys and talk about who are the contenders and who are the pretenders and who we think can challenge Melbourne, can challenge Brisbane. We know that those two sides are going to be up the top end of the ladder. So I've got a few. Yes, Luke?
I want to say, I think to put it in context, who can play in a preliminary final? Because I think you look at it, you've just got to be in a prelim, don't you, Duck? Ross, you get to
and
a
anything
prelim,
can happen.
Anything can happen. So to say you got it, you're a contender, I think you go, can they play in a preliminary final?
But I think it opens up, like if you're Richmond, they just sneak in at eighth. To me, it's about availability. The last few weeks, they've had 21 premiership players playing.
Yep.
So
now they miss Lynch and Lambert. Missing Lynch is going to be tough for the Tigers the next few weeks.
Oh, huge. You've got to get there healthy, and I think the week off opens it up for everyone.
Richmond have still got some handy players. Bolter's the other one that you forget about very quickly. He's the Rocket Gibraltar down back, and we know can play forward.
Yep. Let's talk about Carlton.
I said Rockager.
Yeah, I did. Rockager, Bolter. Okay, let's talk about Carlton. They played against Sydney, a very good outfit, Sydney. And And Carlton, 9 goals, 3.57 in that second term. That's as good a footy as you'll see anywhere. But it seems for me that it's sustainable at Carlton. I looked at their ground level play. They're the number one ground ball get side. And when they ever go in their forward 50, they've always got numbers surrounding the contest. They go in their defensive 50. If Wietering's not beating Buddy Franklin when it comes to ground, they've got ground level support. It's hard to get ground level support all over the ground, but Carlton seem to be able to do that at the moment. I think they've got a clear structure or a clear direction. If the ball goes in the air from a long kick, we just need players at the base of that level to win the footy at the ground level, and then they go from there.
But to get that, you need predictability. So they've got a predictable system to each other. And if you go back last year, like we love Eddie Betts, but he was hanging on, and they were playing Gibbons, and now they've got Arwies, who's got real spark and life down there. They've got some legitimate, and Fisher's back to his
Durden. Little Durden's a beauty.
Yeah, Durden was the one. He's the real standout. So they got three of them now when they didn't really have them, to be truthful, or blokes that could cram and kick a goal, but they didn't have the work rate that you need. So I think with Carlton, but the second half, let's not forget, Sydney went to 37 entries to 18, something like that.
Yep.
So my take on Sydney is that they're very dangerous on the outside, and everyone talks about balance around the contest, but I think they over-index on sitting on the outside of you, and if you win the ball inside, Carlton were plus 9 and contested ball first half. So the game is now, and like Melbourne, if you win the ball on the inside, it doesn't get to the bloke sitting out in the balance. So I think that's always going to be the challenge. So the people Sydney charged with winning the ball inside, they have to do it really well because they've probably got a little bit less inside than, say, Carlton will maybe hunt it a bit more. They'll still have balance, but they don't over-index on the outside. And I think Sydney are being shown if you really win the ball against them on the inside, you take the game off them a lot because they are an outside score team. And I think, and they love coming through the corridor. So if you own the ball on the inside and the corridor, I think you get Sydney. And they've been exposed to real pressure contest teams. That's what I think about Sydney. Well,
Mills had a poor game. Not a poor game, but he wasn't as influential.
But he had one against Gold Coast as well. And yeah. I'm a Mills man. So they really need, Kennedy was really reliable and predictable. They're still trying to get that consistency on the inside.
He's been playing on the wing too, so he's been on the outside. And then you had Warner going into a lot of centre bounces the other night as well, who's just learning his trade. But he's not up against Cripps or even Walsh, who's only in his third season. He's nowhere near the Walsh capacity.
And Kennedy and Hewitt, like, they're seasoned, aren't they, inside Bulls now, really. Yeah. I think what I like about Carlton is their first half, so they're young, right? So they're fading a bit in second half. So I think they're going really well. But as they condition up, like in 2 years' time, what they're doing now for 2.5 quarters, they'll be doing for 3-4 quarters. That's when you're going to see the very best of them.
To answer your question for this year, are Carlton the contender? I say yes. I think they can play in a prelim. I think their team defence is getting better, as you touched on. I think once Pitnett comes back and you've got Mackay, Curnow and De Koning playing in the forward line, I think they can be a handful.
I think they need McGovern down back. I think they're vulnerable down that. We saw that.
Lewis Young's vulnerable. The second tall at the moment. Yeah.
They're vulnerable down back. And they've shown that.
Jones
when teams start winning
they?
The ball, and
they're holding on.
They hung on 8 points. Sydney got back to 8. You'd like to see them finish it a bit
and
more.
The quick one for me, I think when we keep talking about Carlton's second half fade outs, how about we say Carlton is setting up their wins with a dominant first half?
No, they're brave.
They're putting themselves
like
in a position at half time where they've set up the win. So I think they're a contender, absolutely.
They were my certainty on the weekend. I thought Sydney coming off a soft win against Essendon the week before, their form before that wasn't great. They had it all their own way. So for me, Sydney are vulnerable because of all the reasons you said, Ross. I still think they've got enough X factor to be damaging at the right time. If all their X factor players fire on the one day, Sydney can beat anyone. I think they have those capabilities.
I think they become vulnerable quick. But Carlton, I think that's my thing on Sydney. Yeah. I expected better out of them on the weekend.
Yep. So, but Carlton, can they play in a prelim? Yep.
Yeah, for sure they can.
I think they can.
Well, what do they got? They've got the key forwards. They've got the mids.
Yep.
They've got the small forwards now that they never had. They've got depth of midfield that they didn't have.
If they don't win the clearance work and they get belted in the midfield, if they have an off week, their defence is a little bit light on.
Really vulnerable, but they've improved their scoring off turnover. It was stoppage, but now it's turnover.
But I can argue that point. So are Richmond. So are the Western Bulldogs. There are a lot of teams that are vulnerable if they get beaten in the midfield and it goes
defensive. When you go through a team's list, so you've seen your main players list and you look at them and you say, okay, so near career best. You go through the Blues right now. They didn't have Curnow. Cripps is back to career best. Walsh is doing what Walsh always does. So you go, if you just go tick, tick, tick on the majority of those, you're having a very good year.
Yep.
And that's exactly what the Blues
are
doing.
Their wings are still a little bit thin. I think Nunes is there. O'Brien's growing. I think there's other teams with, like, you got Langdon and Brayshaw can play on wings for Melbourne. So, but for their youth profile and what they're doing, I think they're going to challenge nearly every team. But I think Melbourne and Brisbane's best are still above the rest.
What about St Kilda? St Kilda had a good win last night. I thought it was a danger game. Going to Adelaide, Adelaide have been up, they've been down, which is synonymous of a young side. They play a really good game 1 week, poor game the next. And St Kilda have had a few ups and a few highs. They play some great footy against Geelong. So they come off on a high to play against a side who they probably went over Adelaide and thought we should beat these. And they played accordingly in the first half. I thought they played like a side who thought they'd win, but then they scratched their way through that and got to where they needed to in the last quarter.
Joe, I'll let you analyse it a little bit more closely. What I will just say that I like about the Saints, and I don't think you could have said this for a very long time, when they've been challenged, they've done enough. And I like that. So you know, King stood up. Ryder in the last quarter has kicked goals important times.
They did it against Fremantle as well.
Crouch has been big in big occasions. So they've got some players that in big moments have stood up. So that's what I'm liking.
They've done it in nearly all of their wins. They've actually been behind, being challenged, and found a way to find a way. I heard Brett Ratton yesterday. They said they didn't play their best at all. So they played pretty average St Kilda. But you know what you got to do? You got to knock off the wins.
They probably should have lost.
They should have lost, but they bank a win. You bank another win. You can't play your best every week.
And King, so that one they probably should have lost, but they've lost games they should have won because of King's goal kicking, right? So you get the yin and the yang. I was the eye doc, but we did, after the Hawthorn game, I was like, get excited. It wasn't that they're winning, it was what they were doing. Their pressure on the ball carrier, their contest, they're committed. They got role players now, Woods on the wing. You were talking off air, like Bradley Hill's getting back to his best. King stepping out, Ryder's back in. I think Wilkie's career best. There's, you know, Crouch is going. There's a lot to be excited about for the Saints. They're a very honest football team, and Gresham's their point of difference through the midfield.
Can Fremantle kick enough goals to win a premiership, Ross?
Look, I haven't seen enough of them.
29 more inside 50s last week, and the Gold Coast Suns beat them comfortably.
No Walters.
That's a smashing
no
inside
Walters,
50s.
No Walters, no five. They win that game. I've coached up. It's very difficult up there, the conditions. People don't underestimate the humidity, the greasiness, the travel. From Perth to Brisbane, you've got to fly in the – it's a 7-8 hour. It's the biggest trip they'll do. I like what they're doing. Fife back, Walters back. There's something about they're not scoring. I think they've just got to find a little bit more balance. But, I think their best is very good.
They play the Demons this week.
Yeah, well, it's the audit, isn't it? And it's – Melbourne was sitting there going, well, we need a challenge. We'll step this up a bit.
Now you can listen to Triple M Footy wherever you are and whenever you want.
Listen to the roar.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Hawthorn and Brisbane in Tasmania, not far away. We're going to go into full preview mode in about 10 minutes. But at our last segment here, a little bit of fun stuff, because this has taken the world by storm, this segment. It's called Truth or Lime. We've learned a lot about Ross Lyon this year and his habits of all sorts of things. There was a washing machine incident, and last week it was just a young man. He just wanted to tell him to drink bourbon and compete rather than eat his tuna and have his protein shake. So what do we got this week, Joey?
Well, we know Ross was a meticulous preparer, and he was very big on it with his playing group, that we made, you know, if you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Got to have everything ready to go. So when you get to the venue, the ground, you're ready to play. So you've got to prepare really well. So is it truth or lie, this story, Ross, that I heard, that one day when you're coaching over in Fremantle, you're on the way to a game, big game, you're driving along, you realise your car's got no petrol. And instead of stopping and thinking, maybe I should fill up, you ran the gauntlet and thought you could get out to Subiaco without filling up. Well, you've broken down. You've run out of petrol on the middle of the freeway. And you've had to get out in your whole Fremantle kit in the polo and try and get someone to bring a jerry can. To bring the jerry can to fill up the car. And while you're going past, you had people snapping photos and tooting the horn, and they're going to the game. No one offered to pick you up. They're all standing there waving. Is that true? That really happened?
And unfortunately, that is true.
And then did you make the front
Joey.
Page of the paper?
I did.
Is it true?
I did. True on all counts.
How could you
I was heading down to Kwinana, because you used to go up the, I forget the highway now, and then turn left on the Kwinana. And I used to leave my keys and my wallet. I just focused on footy, lived and breathed footy. Well, whether that was a good thing or not, I'm not too sure. But so going down, had the four-wheel drive, and then I just started to chug along. There was an off-ramp, so I just sort of rolled off up, just made it up the top of the off-ramp, turned right, and just clunked out of petrol. I was like, oh, can't say it on
air. How far was it to the nearest petrol station?
It wasn't far. It wasn't far. And then I thought, oh, God, who will I ring? Mark Duffield, the West Australian? No. but I rang Rocky, your great mate, Rocky. He goes, mate, I'm 15 minutes down the freeway. All right. I said, mate, you've got to come back. It was a 40-degree day. I'm standing in the purple. And you don't think, you think you get away. And Rocky's come back. He's got the jerry can. We go up and there's people filling it up. And people, get back. Thanks, mate. Get to the ground. And you think you get away with it, right? And then they have a paper over there for our listeners. You could probably Google it now. The village bell.
It's in Perth.
The village, for whom the bell tolls. And there's me on the front cover with the jerry can filling it up all over Twitter.
You can't get away with anything in Perth.
I'd say it was a fishbowl over
there. Did you win?
No, it was actually start of the 0-10, I think it was. It was 0-10. I think we might have lost to the Gold Coast. So it was ominous.
What would you have said to a player if he rocked up late to the team meeting pre-game? Sorry, coach, my car ran out of petrol.
No. Well, that's where I wasn't too bad.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't too bad. If you're a recidivist, actually, because I got asked this story about Tom Sheridan the other day, and Tommy was continuously late, right? So, and the senior players had an intervention with Tommy. I was like, mate, you're late to everything. You're late on the track. You're late to the meetings. You're late to games. You're just late, Tommy. So they pulled him in and said, Tommy, you're late, you're late, you're late. And then we had this all-a-club meeting where they were announcing something. Might have been when I got sacked, but no, Tommy.
Late.
Was late. Yeah. Right? So then they got him in again. So then we played West Coast up at Geraldton. Stinking hot day, pre-season. You know, one of those country rooms where they got the fans running and you can't hear everything, right? So Tommy's had this big meeting with the leaders. So sit in and you have your little Gary Antelov that used to rouse everyone up, get in here, it's meeting time, get on time. And you go to start and they go, Tommy's not here. Tommy,
oh no!
After the meeting during the week, Tommy.
Did you lose it?
Why was he always late?
He'd find a new reason. So this one, I thought, we're in Geraldton. You couldn't possibly be late to this meeting, Coach. I was on the toilet. Just like Tommy, because you guys would know everything's mapped out to the minute. Yeah. Anyway, so because Tommy. He was a recidivist, so Tommy got a clip.
Have you ever been late to a game? Have you ever been late?
Never.
Did you ever be late? Were you coaching when there was massive traffic issues on Punt Road and we were playing? We had players leaving their car and running. Yeah.
It can be very challenging, Marvel Saving, the Docklands.
Yeah.
I was okay because I didn't want to stress the players. I'd say, and I didn't want them to have an accident. It was like, when you get here, you get here. So
Problem is, you always left early enough, and then you leave early enough, and then you get a good run, and then you're at the game
way too early.
3 hours too early.
Well, some blokes used to leave early, like 5 hours early.
Well, I'm just wondering whether that car, is it the same one, the old Subaru that used to have at St Kilda, that you used to deliberately leave unlocked, hoping it would get stolen so you could get some insurance on it?
Yeah, the Subaru Forester. The Subaru Forester. I thought I was a chance in Linton Street.
Leave
the engine running and unlocked.
And no one ever took it.
Mate, it was a horrible, horrible car. probably the one that I think Dave Misson wrote about in the bubble, right? So I used to go to Perth, play. We're playing Fremantle, actually, and I was under pressure. It was 2011, and we just started to make our run. It was a critical game, and it was the hotel there. It used to be right on the quay, the river, and it had the hockey fields. It had this long, straight road down, and I used to be up the top, and I heard this car like just roaring, like dragging down the street. It was 1 a.m., 2 a.m., keep me awake, and I was like, this is going to keep Rewild awake. This is going to keep. I rang the jump. I rang reception.
Oh, I said, Joey.
Yeah.
Joey.
I was down the order a bit.
I said, look, can you ring the police? This car's keeping my players awake, going up and down all night, right? And they said, oh, sir, there's nothing we can do. So I was like, kept going, 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. I thought, I've got my jeans on, got my check, put my hat on, I walked down, and here's this car just going up and down, just all, like lapping in Lygon Street. I stood in the middle of the road, had my iPhone out, filming. and I saw him pull over about 500 metres down the road. I was like, I was off my head. So I walked in at 4 a.m. to challenge them, right?
Oh, jeez.
To challenge them, 4 a.m. and they got out of the car and they bolted into a car park. I went in the car, I said, "You're weak dogs." Like, and I thought, what was I thinking? I could have got...
Could have been now, anyone.
Once you know Perth, right, it was a really, really dumb move. And then I went to the breakfast in the morning and there's Cozzy. I said, "Oh, did you hear that?" I said, "I feel shit out." You know, sorry about that. I didn't sleep all night. That car going up and down. And Cozzy was like... No,
not one player. Not one player heard the car for the whole night. It's only Rossi. We're all sitting around at breakfast. None of us heard it.
We kept the dogs.
He might have dreamt that. I don't even think he got
it's
out of his hotel room.
Yeah. Those two bottles of red and the temazepam will do that to you.
Before we go to a break, how do we think that Tommy Brown went today? Because we got him in favour of Jay-Z. He drifted off. I thought halfway through. We got nothing out of him, and he was saying. Big news coming up. There's a laid out. There's no laid out. The teams are as selected.
Scant regard to. He looked like me.
He seemed distracted.
It was like he wasn't even in our program.
With all due respect, in this day and age, a laid out isn't big news.
Is he coming back or is he gone?
I think that's it. I think that's what we got out of Tom Brown today.
It's not massive news. Jay-Z might be back. Well, there's a laid out.
And he came in a 3-piece suit. He's immaculate.
The way that he was texting that hard on the phone, we thought there must have been something massive.
I think it was a typical, he after the first few questions in the quiz, he's gone, "I'm out of my depth here. I've got to pretend that I've got a story going on because I can't answer
anything." He's a strange human being, isn't he?
We need Jay-Z.
But even his buzzer, Tom Brown.
We do love him, though.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.